Support for WPR comes from Rutabaga Paddle Sports, offering canoes, kayaks, and advice for anyone wanting to experience solitude on Wisconsin waterways. 2620 Rimrock Road in Madison or rutabagashop.com.
Elections as we know them were invented in the 17th century by people who still wrote with quill pens. They didn't have computers, algorithms, advanced statistics, mathematical modeling, or big data. We do. And you would think that by now someone would have used them to come up with some more technologically advanced way to elect leaders. And actually, someone has. His name is Glenn Weil. He's an economist at Microsoft Research in New York, and he has invented a whole new formula for collective decision making. It's called quadratic voting. And in a nutshell, it's a way to make people pay for their votes. So what does he have against the old-fashioned one-person, one-vote majority rule?
Well, I think my favorite example is that there's a great quote from a German theologian during the Nazi period where they said, you know, first they came for the Jews, but I was not a Jew. And then they came for the communists, but I was not a communist. And then they came for the socialists, but I was not a socialist. And so you can have this thing where, you know, 51% of people deny 49% their rights, and then 51% of the remaining deny the remaining 49% of the rights. And you end up in just a terrible state where you have a few people controlling everything through what sounds like a perfectly democratic procedure, which I think is a way of saying that, well, superficially, the majority rule sounds great. It sounds like equality. Once you actually follow through the full logic of it, you realize it's something that nobody wants.
So how is your system, quadratic voting, how is it different?
You can just think of quadratic voting as a way of finding compromises. You know, if you're bargaining for a job and you are trying to figure out how much sick leave do I get, what are my wages going to be, you always have to give up on some things in exchange for other things that are more important to you. I always find that a really important process for me. Because you realize, what do you prioritize? What are you willing to give up? You need to reach a deal with someone, an agreement. And that's not how our politics works, you know? Our politics is just, here's how I feel. But if we're forced to prioritize, figure out what's more important to us, if that was core to our political discussion, we would have, I think, a much more rational politics.
Okay, I'm not sure I'm following this. Explain how this would work and what's a vote going to cost? Where does the money come in?
So everyone would have a currency that would be given to them, you know, equally across all people. So you'd have like a pile of chips, and you'd be able to use those to vote, let's say, on a number of referenda. In California, where I grew up, we always have half a dozen or more referenda on the ballot each year. And imagine that legalizing marijuana is very important to me, but I don't really care about marriage equality. I might choose to put many of my votes on legalizing marijuana and not to vote on the marriage equality issue, and then maybe there would be a budgetary issue or whatever else.
So it sounds like instead of having just one vote, you get 10, and then you can decide, you know, how you might apportion those. Maybe you care so much about the presidential election that you're going to put all 10 of your chips down for one of the presidential candidates, and then you can't vote on any of the others. Or maybe you care much more about, your congressional representative, and so you're going to put all your chips there. Is that what you're talking
about? Yeah, exactly. So you're going in the right direction, but the key catch, which comes in with the quadratic nature, is that you're never going to want to put everything on one thing, and here's the reason. The rule for what you pay is not that one vote costs one chip. It's that the first vote on any issue costs one chip. The second vote is going to cost you three more chips, so it'll be four in total. And the third vote will cost you five more chips, so it'll be nine in total.
Why do it that way?
So the problem was, if you just let people allocate their chips as they want, people put almost all their resources onto the one issue they care most about. And that would very clearly lead to the dictatorship of the people who really are obsessed with an issue. But under quadratic voting, rather than just looking at the people who care the most or giving everyone equal weight, everyone gets weight in proportion to the importance of the issue to them.
How might this play out in, say, a presidential election? Like, what if we had quadratic voting right now in this presidential election?
So you could have many more candidates running and not have to worry about this whole thing of, oh, it just has to be Trump versus Clinton. Because under quadratic voting, not only would it be the case that you would have this quadratic rule and the ability to allocate, but you could vote either in favor of or against candidates. So candidates who were widely despised by everyone, as at least one, probably both of our leading candidates are right now, would have, find it very hard to compete against alternatives, because even if people thought that they were had a reasonable shot at winning, people would vote against them strongly enough to bring the other candidates ahead.
How do you vote against someone?
Well, you vote negative. So under the system, each one of the candidates, you would have a choice to allocate your chips to get votes that would be in favor of them or against them. And the person with the largest number of net votes in favor would win. So putting aside our current election, if you think about some of the great, terrible things that have happened during history when, you know, the Nazis were elected in Germany, it was because many people were afraid that the communists would take over. And so they voted in favor of the Nazis just to stop the communists. And many people voted in favor of the communists just to stop the Nazis. And if you had a system where you could vote against both of them, that sort of scenario wouldn't arise.
At a philosophical level, it seems to me that you're basically talking about turning democracy into a market-based system. I mean, turning votes into a form of currency and assigning a market value to them. I guess I'm wondering, aren't there some things, you know, like the ballot box, that should be market-free?
So, and this may be a very extreme view, but I think the answer is no. I actually think that most of the problems that we perceive as society as maybe outcomes of the market or the reasons why, you know, we have inequality and things like this are actually a result of us not having enough markets. I guess since I was a child, I always had this passion for politics to make the world a better place and whatever. And like many people, I thought I knew how to do that. I thought I knew X program that was advocated by one party, that would make things better. I was very confident about it. And the more I learned, the more I realized how flawed all of these programs were and how little they really could accomplish and how impoverished our political and social and economic imaginations are. A large part of what motivates me is just seeing how the social machine could work better.
Glenn Weil is an economist and senior researcher at Microsoft Research in New York. He's the co-founder of a startup called Collective Decision Engines, which is developing quadratic voting for civic and commercial use. Coming up, imagine a world in which fifth graders could vote. I'm Ann Strainchamps. It's To the Best of Our Knowledge from Wisconsin Public Radio, NPRI, Public Radio International.